All right, men of Lifegate, week two of the series that we're looking at from the words that Jesus spoke from the cross. And as we stated earlier, it's important that we look at these words. Each gospel records the words that Jesus spoke. Jesus spoke them out loud. So there's certainly something that we are to take away from them. And today we're looking at my favorite story from the cross with the two criminals. And to help me today, I have Mike Armour, who is involved in men's ministry here at West Dodge. I've known Mike for quite a few years now. Just a great man of God. I'm going to pass the mic over to him and let Mike say a few things.
Well, Tim, thank you. And it's just an honor. And I'm humbled that you asked me to be a part of this. I saw with the other list of guys that have been involved, it's a great company. So thank you very much.
The pleasure is mine. So we're looking in Luke's gospel today, Luke 23. I'm going to read just a few passages, a few verses from this narrative of the criminals on the cross, starting in verse 32. Luke 23, verse 32. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to that place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Then skipping down to verse 39. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." So Mike, the first thought that comes to my mind is that Jesus is crucified between these two people. They are experiencing the same thing. And I want you to place yourself in this story for a moment. That you are at the cross and you're hearing this and you're there. What comes to your mind as you are present in that moment?
Well, I would just imagine great anguish, great agony, for anyone that would have hung on a cross. And when you think about that, I mean, you've got the one that's continuing to have a hard heart. He's hurling insults. He still has a proud spirit. And and you kind of wonder about the irony of insulting the very one who might save you. Excuse me. And I would just imagine that, you know, the one who is hurling insults, I would just imagine that if you were hung on a cross back then, the chances that you were going to die on that cross was about 100%, unless the king had made some amazing edict and sent 40 horsemen to, you know, get you down. Oh, there's been a mistake. You're going to die on that cross. And he couldn't see past the instance and still having the hard heart to still insult Jesus and say, you know, get us down off of here if you're such a king. Whereas the other one knew, he realized the bigger picture, he knew the end was coming. And I'm sure he's thinking, well, if this Jesus is who he says he is, I have nothing to lose.
It's interesting that some time when they were on the cross, both of the criminals, according to Matthew and Mark's telling of the gospel of this narrative, both of them were heaping insults upon Jesus. But something happened in the midst of that caused this one criminal to see Jesus in a different light, to understand the innocence of him in that moment, and then to say these amazing words, "Remember me," while the other one continued to walk along with the crowd, to join them in hurling in Jesus and continuing to do that. And I just think that there's a certain level of fear that's going on. The one who continued to hurl insults has this fear of man, this desire to be part of the crowd, to fit in, to continue to get that kind of recognition, where the other man had a fear of God, and he even says, "Don't you fear God?" Where there's this understanding of the awe and the awesomeness and the reverence of who Jesus is. And the second guy made the right choice, and he stopped hurling the insults. We don't know what that was. And he said, "Remember me. Remember me." And when those words are spoken in the Old Testament, it's typically a reminder of deliverance, where God remembered Noah and he was delivered from the flood. He remembered Abraham and spared his nephew Lot. He remembered Rachel and she was able to give birth. He remembered his covenant with Abraham and would eventually deliver his people out of Egypt. And when we were off mic, you were talking about this, that you had a thought about these words that the criminal cried out, "Remember me."
Well, I just think for the average person, whether they're, you know, again, there's seasons of incredible hardness sometimes in lives. And even in my own life, you know, when I'm really under something that seems so heavy, I don't know if I can carry it. I literally find myself calling out to the Lord, literally verbally, and saying, "Lord, contend for me. Contend for me, Lord." And I think in that instance that he carries a load, and I liken it a little bit to, you know, when Jesus said, "Hey, today you'll be with me in paradise." I mean, instantly, I think when we ask the Lord to contend for us through the Holy Spirit, we are not under that load anymore. We're not under that curse. We're literally can be in paradise, you know, through the Holy Spirit.
So when this criminal said, "Remember me," he was saying, "Deliver me from that place I am destined to," that life for our modern day vernacular of hell, right? Life without Jesus. And I think it's, we're quick to overlook that and miss the point that all this guy said, he asked a question. He said, "Remember me." He didn't recite a prayer. He didn't go through his theology. He didn't recite scripture. He was a criminal who deserved death. But in that short amount of time that he spent with Jesus and that experience that he had in those moments, he caught this glimpse, this thought, this idea of who Jesus was and what Jesus' kingdom might be like. And he asked the question. He said, "Can I be part of it? I want to be with you. Remember me." And that was enough. And Jesus said yes. So I wonder if there's times when we make it too complicated to just approach Jesus, where we use our wisdom, we think that we have things to prove, but it's Jesus.
One of the commentaries that I read said this so perfectly: he was snatched as a branch out of the burning and made a trophy of divine mercy and grace. He was snatched. And talk about late repentance, you know, coming at the right time. I don't advise it. I mean, I remember back before I was saved, I certainly recall, I'm going to have to get right with the Lord someday. And thankfully, that someday was sooner than, you know, 5 minutes before my death. I mean, you know, the thief, the one that acknowledged him said, you know, obviously he didn't have to go through a class. He didn't have to, you know, get sit with somebody once a week. I mean, he literally just acknowledged that he had sinned, that he was getting what he deserved, and he asked Jesus to remember him.
There's that component of confession, obviously repentance, and then just the ask.
Yeah.
And so much of it speaks to where the heart of this criminal was. You know, initially it was hard. You used that reference earlier, hard heart. But once you experience Jesus, once you see how he treats people, and just before that, before we read this narrative, he's talking about forgiving those who do not know what they're doing. And I just imagine the criminal on the cross hearing those words as well, where Jesus is being tormented and mocked, and he's been tortured, and he's innocent, and he's still saying, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Just how that would have penetrated the spirit and the soul of that one criminal who said, okay, man, this guy is legitimately who everybody is saying that he is. Everybody's mocking him for being the Messiah, for being the King. And he has something about him that I want, that I want to be part of. I want to be part of that kingdom because it is more than I am. So we see these two responses, two different people experiencing the same thing, two different responses. So I think one of the questions that we are, that this text is just begging us to ask is, which one are we? Are we the ones that are going to follow the crowd? Or are we the ones that are going to follow Jesus? And that's only a question you can answer right now for yourself, wherever you are. But I think it's something that we need to look at. And I want to transition to the next part of that. Jesus said, truly I tell you, so truly, I mean, there's no gray area there. Jesus is saying, truly, today you will be with me in paradise. And just imagine what that criminal would have thought of, what his response would be when Jesus said today. It's not a time to come. It's not, hey, you got to prove yourself a little bit. You got to show me that you're committed. It's today. You've confessed. You've seen who I am. Your heart is bent towards me. Today, you are going to be with me. How does that impact you when you read that, Mike?
Hey, just a quick go back.
Yeah.
When we were talking about the something happened to the one thief. In 2 Corinthians 2:16, to one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life. I mean, nice. Literally something in the atmosphere changed when he repented of his sins.
That's good.
Talking about this, though, today, I mean, just think, I mean, what would you, and quite frankly, that was going to be that day. Not you know, when you die. And again, he didn't have to, you know, Jesus didn't ask him, you know, are you going to church? Are you giving? Are you in a men's group? I mean, none of that. He didn't have to meet any test. It just literally says, today you'll be with me in paradise. And I think, I guess my question, when you compare that to the other guy, I mean, what would we rather have? The first thief just wanted to be saved from the cross. I mean, very short-term thinking. He'd probably just resume his wicked ways. Or would you want to be saved from your sins and have eternal life before the day is over?
Two is my answer.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because they were both going to die on that cross.
Right.
One guy made the right decision.
Yeah, and today. Today means today.
Yeah.
Not sometime yet to be determined. And Jesus' use of these words had to just be so comforting to that person on the cross, that man on the cross who said yes to Jesus. But something greater was going to happen in that moment too, right? Not just where and when this guy would be, but who he would be with. As Jesus was dying on the cross, he was still living out his mission in life, was to seek and save the lost. And when Jesus said, you will be with me, he didn't say you're going to be with anybody else. He said, you're going to be with me. He said that to that thief on the cross. He was showing mercy and love and salvation. There was no doctrinal quiz. It was just a man reaching towards Jesus, and that was enough. And Jesus says, today, you will be with me. And I think in my own life, how many times have I not believed that? How many times have I tried to go my own way? How many times have I tried to take control? How many times have I not surrendered or asked God to contend for me? But in the pain and the suffering of the moment, in the hardship of the moment, I went my own way instead of seeking to be with Jesus. I mean, it's what Matthew tells us. His name is Emmanuel, is God with us.
Mm-hmm.
So not only is he with us in this life, but beyond this life, we are going to be with Jesus as well. And that's just such an amazing thing once you think about it.
And I've just, from studying this a little bit, I'm as convinced as ever that this paradise, again, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that came upon Jesus when he was baptized, the same Holy Spirit that's been since before creation, is the same Holy Spirit that we have access to today. And I don't think that the most of us know or realize the power that we can walk into when we invite the Holy Spirit into our lives. I truly believe that, obviously, if we're casting out, well, obviously, if we're in the Holy Spirit, we can't be in evil, right? I mean, you can't be in two worlds at the same time. And I just believe that, just like the Lord, when I cry out, Lord, contend for me, and He is there, I'm not under the weight of the world. So I just believe that we can walk more in paradise in our daily life more than we realize it.
Where's paradise to you, Mike? I know you're a man who loves barbecue. So is that your description of paradise when you're eating a plate full of barbecue and with good company? What's your paradise?
You know, barbecue is good. I had some yesterday, but you know, really for me, paradise would be on a beach, and just the majesty of creation crashing in the billions of sands of pieces of sand and the shells, and just seeing that massive power. Or it's on a mountaintop. To me, those are paradisical things. But barbecue is right there.
For me, my paradise, you know this about me, is a cup of coffee and a good book. And it would be even more of a taste of paradise. Not on the beach. I'm not a big beach fan. But on a mountain somewhere, in a log cabin, on a porch with a fire, wherever. But just where I get to experience the beauty and God's creation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the paradise that Jesus talks about in this is, I think it's going to be paradise for all of us, really. But it's an old Persian word that was translated as the king's garden, a place of great beauty. When a person was honored in ancient Persia, they were given the privilege to enjoy the king's garden. And I want you to think about this criminal for a second. All you guys listening right too, think about this criminal going to paradise as the king's garden. Jesus is King Jesus. Where we're going is to his garden. And we're not going as uninvited guests. We're not going as unworthy guests. We are going as honored guests of the king. It doesn't matter our past.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter what we've done. We are honored just because of who we are. Jesus finds value in us as a person. And I think that's something that we can't miss. Too often we think that we have to do things. But this criminal on the cross couldn't do anything for Jesus.
Mm-mm.
Everything that he did was worthy of him being where he's at.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus found value in him as somebody who is created in the image of God, as a person. And because of that value right there, he was brought into a place of honor to be with King Jesus. And then for me, that is so comforting. This criminal who deserved death is told, truly today, right now, you're going to be with me. I'm your king. I'm King Jesus, in a place that that you will receive honor in paradise. And I just love that about Jesus. Any thoughts about that?
Yeah. Probably possibly for the first time in human history, when Jesus was hanging on that cross, he literally prayed for his tormentors, which probably had never happened before. But when instant forgiveness comes to a sinner, if we're humbled enough to repent and confess our sins, it is instant forgiveness, instant cleansing, instant our spirit is clean as a driven snow. Mm-hmm. So, but that's what the cross is all about. That's, just like, this morning in, we had communion, and Pastor Brian was talking about the remissions of sin is forgiveness plus. Without blood, there's no remission of sin. So even in his last breath, the last picture that we see of life with Jesus alive literally was a setup again to reveal the forgiveness of the cross, the power of the cross.
Yes.
For forgiveness for sinners. It was a setup,
Fantastic. Well, guys, we appreciate your time. As you transition to your table time, we do have some questions for you. What are your thoughts of the two criminals and the choices they made? Do you think it's fair that the criminal who said, "Remember me," is able to be with Jesus in paradise in that moment? I think one of the most powerful questions that we're asking is, where in your life are you calling out to Jesus to remember you, to remember me? And finally, Jesus' mission was to seek and save the lost. What is your mission in your life, and how are you living out that mission? We love you guys. We're grateful for you. Have a great evening, and we will talk to you next week. Week.